I just want you to know how proud I am of one of our associate pastors who happens to be my nephew, and I love the fact that his heart is tender towards Jesus, and he's being molded and shaped to be this awesome man of God with great insights. And so I want him to speak to you today, not because it's his turn, but simply because he has a message for you. And so without any further ado, I give this pulpit very proudly to my nephew, Fitz.
Go get him enough.
My gosh. Good morning, everybody. I don't know about you, but I had a blast doing worship. I think in all the years that I've led worship and had the privilege of having my cousins be a part of this worship team, this is the first time, I think, one of the first times that I actually got to sit back and just partake, not worry about the dynamics of the song, not worry about how to transition to the next, but to just sit in the presence of God and to see the people of God just respond to His presence, to His power. I'm refreshed this morning. I am nervous, I am excited, but I am refreshed. My gosh. Not to say that my week was that way. I can honestly say this week was one of the more frustrating weeks that I've ever had. We try to give Pastor Fernie breaks and have rotations on when we're going to preach, and mine was up, but thank the Lord, Tim stepped in and took my spot and did a wonderful job. And so I thought, you know, because it was a couple weeks ago, I thought, okay, I'm good for the rest of this month, and I'll take next month. And then I meet with Pastor Fernie, and he goes, so are you ready? And I said, ready? Ready? And this message technically has been in my heart and on my mind for quite some time. It's just getting it down on paper, and it's making sure that it makes sense and it's in order. That, to me, that's the hardest part. But when I get to speaking about this particular subject, I can't help but just kind of pour my heart out about this particular subject, because it's an insight that even growing up in church, I tended to overlook. I never realized it the way I realized it when I was prepping for this message. But this week, my gosh, it was frustrating. I work in Simi Valley, which is about 1 hour and 15 minutes away. Driven there for 3 years, no problems, in the heat, in the cold, in the wind, in the rain, in the fog, made it. No issues. Out of the blue, Monday morning, I'm driving, cruising to work. I even woke up early so that I can stay in front of the house and kind of regroup before I have to officially start my Monday blues. I get there and I'm driving along the 118, and beautiful morning, you see the sunrise because it's summer and it rises early. So I'm having my little alone time with God, just thanking Him for this job that He's blessed me with. And I go to exit, and the exit is it's a pretty long strip of street, and it's one of those where if you're in the right lane, you don't have to stop. You just merge onto traffic. So for 3 years, instead of downshifting, because I have a stick shift, because sometimes when you downshift too much, you mess up your transmission. So you're taught to just pop it in neutral, ride the brakes, put it back in the gear. For 3 years, I've done that. So I'm approaching the exit. I'm a good driver. I hit the signal, check my blind spot, and I go. I go down the signal light, and everything's fine. I come out of the turn, and I go to pop it into third, and it's stuck. I release the clutch, press it again, and I'm stuck. Now I'm cruising in neutral, and you know those quick prayers? Lord, what is going on? In Jesus' name. I make sure that I'm fully on, so I press it. I'm in there. And I try to put it in the third, and it won't. So I said, oh my gosh. So I press it, try to put it in the second. It's not there. I wiggle it to make sure it's still there. Nothing. So I'm writing it out, and it's where a lot of the big rigs exit to get to Ventura. And so they're behind me. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm waiting. I'm just putt-putting. Because no matter how much you hit the gas, if you're in neutral, you're not going anywhere. So I'm just riding, and I have to wait till the next signal light. Luckily, I turn in. It's a business complex, so I go to turn in there so I could safely, you know, examine my car. So I'm still riding neutral. I go to do a three-point turn. I get up the driveway, and I'm stuck. Oncoming traffic, I'm waving them through so that I don't get hit. I hit the hazard, turn off the car. Again, quick prayer, Lord, fix my clutch. I need to get to work. Work from the exit is literally 2 minutes away. 2 minutes away. You go up a hill and you're there. Turn off the car. Turn it on. Works. Wiggle the clutch. Stuck. So again, I'm rocking in the middle of this driveway. I go to pop it into reverse. Nothing. I turn it off again. Then I pray a little harder. Lord, in Jesus' name, I need my clutch. Start it again. Nothing. I said, oh my gosh, there's traffic. I can't. So I said, okay, let me keep it in neutral. And maybe I can pull my car out, turn the wheel, and push it. So now it's just along the sidewalk instead of in the middle of the street. I go to the gym. I think I'm getting stronger. You can't push a car by yourself when you're in the middle of a driveway. So I'm just rocking my car back and forth. And, you know, I suppose people are friendly, but they're walking and they're looking at me. Like, what is he doing? Why doesn't he just get in his car? Again, I'm praying, Lord, why? Why? It's Monday. It's a beautiful day. The 6 years I've had my car, I've never had problems with it. What's going on? So one last time, right before I had my mom on speed dial because she knows AAA, I had my coworkers on the other speed dial just in case I need to get picked up because I usually get there before them. I said, Lord, one more time, I'm going to try it. Start it up, it works. I pop it into reverse. I kind of force it into reverse. It goes, I get out, I make it up. Make it up the hill. I get there. I said, whew, thank you, Lord. That was all I needed. Get to work, work my 8-hour shift. I'm walking out. And, you know, throughout the day, you forget what happened in the morning. It's like, oh, man. I go, please. Again, quick prayer. Lord, let it start. Let me get home. I already called my friend who has the parts for me. He said he can fix it. Just let me get home. Okay, get in. By the grace of God, it starts. I go. I make it up to 14. I make it to the house just in time as it dies. I pulled it into the driveway, and something about having to put it in neutral and back into first, it gets stuck. So I couldn't even put it in the garage. So it's stuck on the driveway. My friend comes by, he takes a look at it. I got you, Fitz. Towed it to his house, fixed it. I said, all right, great. Test drove it, perfect. Took Tuesday off because he needed to fix it. Wednesday's my Friday, so I said, all right. Friday's here, I'm ready to go. Started up in the morning, no problems. Lord, you answered my prayer. I'm good. It's hot. Wednesday is hot. It was a hot day. This whole week was hot. Wednesday. Shift is over. The previous shift even came early, so I get to go home early. Get in my car. Say bye to my patients, pull out, perfectly fine. Shift to second, no problem, smooth, just like at the dealership. I hit the stop sign, pop it in neutral, go to put it into first, stuck. Jiggle the clutch, put it into first, stuck. Lord, I thought you just answered my prayer. I just dropped a certain amount of money to get this problem fixed. Now I'm stuck again. Turn it off, tried the same trick. Turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on. Nothing. Flip my hazards on. Luckily, my coworker sees me. He goes, what's wrong? I thought they fixed it. I said, I thought it was fixed too. Luckily, he helped me to push it to the sidewalk. at that point. And you know it's hot when you're just sitting in your car and your skin starts to glisten because the sweat pores begin to form. And I'm annoyed and I'm hungry and I want to get home and I'm frustrated. It's my Friday and I'm stuck at my place of employment when I don't have to be there. AAA comes, nicest guy. He lives in that area. He's only driven through the Antelope Valley. He never stopped in Palmdale or anything. He gets out of the car, looks at me. I said, how are you doing, sir? He didn't ask anything else. He goes, Lancaster, really? I said, yeah, sir, I live in Palmdale. He goes, you know you're a premium member. I said, yeah, my mom is. He goes, so I have to drive you all the way to Palmdale. I said, I know, I'm sorry. He goes, are you ready to go? I said, yeah. So I hooked up my car, we leave. We get there safely. Turned out to be a nice guy. Shared a little bit of our life story, but it was like that. Monday, frustration. Tuesday, answer to prayer. Wednesday, same frustration. I'm tired. I want to go home. You answered me before. Why is the same problem reoccurring? What's going on, Lord? Needless to say, my car is in West Palmdale in the garage, being worked on by a friend who's taking time out of his schedule because he goes, Fitz, I don't want anybody else touching your car and charging you a ridiculous amount of money for a job I can do for you. Just leave it at my house. You'll have it by Monday. I said, okay. The week goes on, thinking about that. I need a car. I'm stuck at home. I love my house, but it's hot and I'm stuck at my house. You can't walk anywhere. You're going to get heat stroke. Luckily, Ata'ana let me borrow her car. But just not having your own car when you're used to having one, you become dependent on others. People need to rearrange their whole schedule just to shuttle you around. Frustration. Frustration. Lord, why? Why is this happening? I don't get it. And when we met on Thursday for Bible study, I was still in that mode. But to sit back and when Tita Angela led it and to hear the testimonies that everybody had, it confirmed in my heart about this message. Frustration. Everybody experiences frustration. Whatever the circumstance may be, all it takes is one little thing and frustration sets in. And then it's like a snowball effect. This causes me to feel this way, so I'm going to react this way, which will cause me to be more frustrated. But Lord, I'm praying. I'm praying. And it seems like you're not answering me. Anybody ever feel that? Ever feel like God is taking forever to answer you? Like literally, he's taking forever to answer you? And Lord, you're all powerful. I just need a little bit of this. And it'd be good. Just give me that. That's all I need. Or if he's not taking forever, ever feel like he's answering you incorrectly? Lord, I need this. So he gives you something else. Lord, that's not what I asked for. I asked you to fix my clutch. You fixed it, but there's still something wrong. Frustration. Many times we pray that, Lord, take this away. Lord, deliver me from that. Lord, heal me like this. Lord, provide for me in this way. And there's times and there's an expression where you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and then coming right back. Somehow it's not reaching heaven, as if our prayers somehow are connected to balloons and then eventually they'll reach heaven. And when God sees that, then he throws down, as if he throws down some generic answer. Frustration. Lord, you're not answering me correctly. I've been going through this for years. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like I'm not moving forward. In fact, it feels like I'm taking two steps forward and three steps back. Frustration. You ever wonder why? Honestly, you ever wonder why? Lord, I'm praying for this, and you answered me this way. Why? Ever notice sometimes God doesn't do what we want? These are all rhetorical questions, by the way. Ever notice that? So I was thinking about it. Why is that? Lord, you call us to pray, and we pray. And you call us to trust you, so we trust you. And it still feels incorrect. Why does God allow that to happen? What's his motive? If you could turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, maybe we can discover why God does that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and it's a letter to the Corinthian church. And like us, a lot of the times they were experiencing a lot of frustration, a lot of turmoil, a lot of chaos, you might say. So the Apostle Paul writes this to them. And let's see if we can discover together why it is that God answers us the way he does. Chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we do not fix our eyes on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory." So why? In the midst of frustration, in the midst of trials, circumstances, confusion, chaos, uncertainty, he gives us a particular answer. Why? Easy answer? It's found in the verse. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory." So why does he answer us the way he does? Because he's prepping us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's preparing us. For what? For eternity. How many of us believe that eternity doesn't start when you die? Eternity starts right now. It's interesting because life doesn't start with birth and end with death. Life starts with birth and keeps going. So what's God's purpose in the way he answers us? He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's prepping us. For what? For eternity. And if we believe that eternity starts now, then like Miles says, Christianity is not something where you arrive at a destination. It's an ongoing process where you're built, where you're shaped. So why do we go through the troubles we go through? Why does God allow us to feel the frustration that we feel? Because he's prepping us. Prepping us for what? For eternity. There's a concept that we learned in this church that has been going through my heart and in my mind for the past couple weeks, past couple months, that God is not just in our past and in our present, he's in our future. He's not only in our future, but he's pulling us into the future. If he's pulling you into the future and he's already there, that means everything that you're going through, he accounts for. He knows about. Nothing surprises God. God doesn't get blindsided. He's eternal. No beginning, no end. In fact, when he looks at our lives, he doesn't look at our lives from birth to death. We have a hard time understanding this concept because we're tied down by time. For us, life is moments. We live moment to moment. And the problem is we can't see our future moments. So we can only refer to the past. The thing about God is he's eternal. He doesn't see snapshots. He sees the whole picture. He doesn't see your birth to your death. He saw before you were born to the rest of eternity. That's why when he pulls us into the future, it's okay that we're frustrated. Why? Because that's only one part of the future. If he's pulling us and we have the heartaches, we have the depression, we have the despair, we have the frustrations, we have the failures, it's okay. Why? Because eternity never ends. He's not done pulling us. He's in our future, absolutely, but He's pulling us. He knows. We went over this in class this morning. Is it an accident that we go through the things that we go through? Is it random? No. It's absolutely 100% not random that we go through the things that we go through. Why is it not random? Refer back to the verse, because He's prepping us. Prepping us for what? For eternity. That's why the frustration is okay. God is eternal. He knows. And even us understanding that He's eternal, even that's hard for us to grasp. Because we say, Lord, if You're in my future and You're pulling me into the future, then why won't You just let me avoid the things that I'm supposed to go through so it doesn't hurt? But if He is in our future, shouldn't we trust Him to allow us to go through the things that we go through? Because He's the one that's molding and shaping us. It's not us. We have no control over our future. He's in our future pulling us. God knows what we'll be going through. He knows what we'll be facing. And He's still in complete control. I think that's the part that we have a hard time realizing, because we like control. And to give God control means that we have to face whatever He pulls us through. We have to go through the quicksand. We have to go through all of that. Because God sees us eternally. Say this to your neighbor. Problems do not last forever. Problems do not last forever. We can magnify them. My gosh, we are pros at saying every situation is life or death. Oh, my clutch broke. I'm gonna die. No. It's hot. I'm sweating. I've been sitting in my car in this heat for 15 minutes, Lord. That's like an eternity. Really? The process of being pulled into the future, that process that God puts us through, it forces us to change. Think about it. Look into your past. Pastor Fernie and Pastor Phil, everybody here, and our testimonies, the reason why we have testimonies is because God is pulling us into the future. Are we the same congregation that we were 10 years ago? Are we in the same building that we were last year? We change. Why do we change? Because time goes on, which means what? God is pulling us into the future. How many of us are better today than we were 6, 7 years ago? How many of us have learned the lessons that we needed to learn? Have learned to be more thankful for the things that we have? Have learned to not take for granted the things that we're blessed with? That's all a learning process. Where do you learn that process? When God pulls you into the future. That process is necessary for us to change. Guaranteed, I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. And here's the thing about it. I won't be the same person 10 years from now that I am today, because God is pulling me into the future. Make sense? And a little side note. You know that verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope in the future." Yeah. Who knows our plans? "For I know the plans I have for you." He knows the plans, correct? The plans are in the what? The future, which He's already in, that He's pulling us towards. So can we get to those plans without God pulling us to them? No. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And here's the thing about it. We have prayer requests to have a hope and a future, to have prosperity, to have success. Yeah? If God knows us and God is not giving us that prosperity yet, here's the thing about it. Maybe it's because we're not ready for that success. Maybe it's because we're not ready for that prosperity. Have you ever given a child a present that they have no concept of yet? You know those little board games that says for ages 3 and up? Have you ever given a 6-month-old those games? Will they enjoy it? No. Those little remote control cars for 8 and over? Why? Because when you're 8, you have certain abilities to control something. If I give it to you when you're 2, are you going to be able to control it? You may use it for a purpose that it's not created for. You're going to drive a remote control car into the pool because you think it can float. We're not ready for it. So God pulling us into the future, absolutely. He's pulling us to the plans that He's promised us. The prosperity, the success. The problem is, we have to go through that process of changing before we're ready to receive that success. Amen. I'm asking for a job. Lord, I don't want to drive an hour and 15 minutes to work. And now I'm realizing, okay, does the Lord want me to have success? Absolutely. But now I'm thinking about it. If I haven't got it yet, Lord, are you ignoring me? Or is it maybe you're preparing me and changing me into the person that will be grateful for that job that you blessed me with that's local? Maybe I'm not ready for that job that's local. We live in a very instant society. We want this, so we get it. We want that, so we get it. And a lot of the times we realize that if we're given that, we may neglect it. We may lose it. We may take it for granted. So that process of being pulled into the future, it's essential. Why? Because we may not be ready for it at this moment in time. God still has to grow us. He has to change us. He has to mold us and shape us and prep us. Because eternity doesn't start when we die. It starts right now. Second reason why I think God allows us to go through the things that we go through. He's establishing a relationship with us. Frustration, the feeling of frustration, the feeling of hopelessness, the feeling of uncertainty. Yeah, they're very unsettling when things are beyond your control. But the interesting thing about it is, it causes us to refocus. It causes our attention to be shaken, to now focus on God. Frustration, yeah, that's a horrible feeling. But in the midst of that frustration, who do you find yourself calling out to? Because who else can change that circumstance? It's only God. So why does He allow us to go through the trials? Why does He allow us to fail? One, He's pulling us into the future and He's changing us, absolutely. Second, because He wants to make sure we learn. I'm still here. I got you. I always revert back to my nursing. I think that's my gang story. The things that you go through, you always revert back to. For me, it was like that. Lord, you brought me through school and now I'm failing, frustrated. Looking back on it now, that strengthened my relationship with God. Because in the midst of failure, I learned, number one, I need to learn how to study. Number two, I need to learn how to put God in control of everything that I do. Number three, I have to allow God to teach me how to study. How to not neglect the things that He's brought me through. How to not neglect the things that He's blessed me with. So it's okay that you're frustrated. It's all right that we don't know the answers. Why? Because God uses that to grab our attention. He uses that to strengthen, to cultivate our relationship with each other. I love what Pastor Fernie said last week. God doesn't give us answers. He gives us promises. Why? Because in those promises, we learn to rely on God. Promises are not instantaneous. Answers are instantaneous, but you don't grow with answers. You only grow through a relationship. So is it okay that we're frustrated? Yes. Is it okay that we seem like the prayer is hitting the ceiling? Yeah, that's fine. Is it okay that the answers that God gives us seems incorrect to us? Is that okay? Yeah. Why? Because in the midst of all of that, He's still there. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still in control. We may feel out of control, but we live in God's kingdom, and in His kingdom, He's in complete control. So it's okay. Frustration, confusion, helplessness, He uses all of that to refocus us to himself. It's only through relationship that we discover his love. We realize his grace, his faithfulness. And it's only through a relationship that we receive his blessings. That's it. So I'll ask, what's your frustration? Am I the only one that feels frustrated? No? What's your frustration? Is it a job? Is it a relationship? Is it the future? Is it uncertainty? Is it health? Is it a disease? Is it finances? What's your frustration? I want us to realize that this morning, because it's that frustration that'll cause us to be awakened to the things that God is doing in our life. I sat back on Thursday and I listened to everybody's testimony, and it confirmed this message in my heart. To hear Tim talk about what he's been going through and how God pulls him into the future and answers his prayer request at the right time. What did he do? He got Tim's attention. To hear Lolo Canjo, to go through all these things that he's going through, all these physical ailments, and he may pray, Lord, Lord, dig this away. You may pray that. Has God taken it away? Not necessarily. Why? Because he's still in that state. But to see him, I watched him. To sit back at a party filled with loved ones. To sit back and have joy in the midst of what he's going through. He doesn't need to be the one running around directing everything. He sat back when that video played and he saw his grandchildren and the life that they live. When he saw that the legacy that he's leaving, that his grandchildren are taking that and they're living that way. The joy that he felt. You ask him if it's all worth it. Would he trade in the physical ailments for a dysfunctional family? For a family that neglects him? Would he trade in those physical ailments for all the success, but yet he's isolated? You ask him if he'll trade that. It's true in everyone's life. Lynn said it herself. I sat back, and sometimes I forget that they just joined this family, because it seems like we've known them for years. But for her to sit back and say, you know, these past couple months, I usually write in a journal all of our prayer requests and all the things that we have on our heart. And I sat back and I reread those things. And she called them miracles. Every single one of them, God performed a miracle. In that time that you were going through that, were you frustrated? When you found out you had to move, when you have to put your house up for sale in a market that says that's impossible, when you're looking for a job, you're stuck at home because nobody's calling you back. In that time, you're frustrated. But to be able to sit back and look and account for every single miracle that God performed in your life, tell me it's not worth it. We're still going to feel frustrations in the future. Why? Because we don't know what's in our future. But again, ask me in 10 years if that wasn't worth it. To realize God's faithfulness, I saw it. My message became three-dimensional because I literally saw it. Pulling us into the future? Absolutely. Establishing a relationship with us? It's all worth it. And the third reason why I think God allows us to feel frustrated. Like I said, when it was Monday morning, I prayed, Lord, fix my clutch. That's all I need. And it wasn't. Lord, I need to pass, make me pass. And I didn't. That frustration you feel, why do we feel that? You guys know the old school pan scales? You guys know what a pan scale is? It holds a certain amount of weight and then the scale tips. This is the concept I learned that rearranged the way I look at situations. We say, Lord, we're going through this. Fix my clutch. Make me pass, give me a job, bless me, heal me from my skin, do this, do that. This side of the scale is real heavy. All of our burdens, all of our prayer requests, all of our uncertainties, all of our failures, it's here. What does God do? Does he go to that side of the scale and begin to take it out? Heal me from this. Okay. Deliver me from that. All right. Give me this. Okay. Here's the interesting thing about our God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. Correct? He still desires a relationship with us. Correct? With all of that weight on one side of the scale, the amazing thing about our God is he does not take that away. Lolo Kanjo still has physical ailments that he deals with. Lolo Mamang still has arthritis. It's still there. What does he do? He tips the scale. How does he do that? He offsets it with his presence. He offsets it with joy, with his glory, with eternal success. So what happens? Everything that was so heavy now gets lifted. The same way God is eternal and we're bound by time. If our life on this earth, if we are blessed to live as long as Grandma Nen at 90 years, what is 90 years in comparison to eternity? It's nothing. So in the same sense, all of our burdens, God doesn't take that away. He offsets it. He counterbalances it. He contrasts it with what? Himself, his love, his glory, his faithfulness, his love, his healing, his provision, his wisdom, his people that he's caused us to be in a relationship with. So what happens? Everything that was weighing us down, suddenly it's not as heavy. Is it still real? Yes. Is it still painful? Absolutely. But he offsets it with his glory. I preached on it last night. His glory is his weightiness. It's what he's made of. It's how heavy God is. So God's weight in comparison to all that, it's no contest. That's why you can have people that are terminally ill. That's why you can have people like Ken who has had a hard life. A hard marriage, lost his wife. That is why they can be joyful in those circumstances. Why? Because behind the scenes, God has been stacking endless amounts of his grace, of his love, of his mercy. So all the things that we go through, it doesn't even compare. You can have somebody like Lola Mamang who goes through the physical ailments that she goes through, who has the frustrations that she has. That's why you can have her screaming to the top of her lungs during worship. Because for all the years in her life, God has been stacking his goodness, his love, his faithfulness. Are the problems that she faces real? Absolutely. But she's given life. She was screaming louder than everybody in here. Why? Because she realized how real, how much God loves her. And behind the scenes, God has just been stacking her. That's why we can go through the things that we go through. That's why it's okay to feel frustrated. God may not take away my eczema. I may be scratching till the day I die. But my perspective is changing. It's not about that. It's about what God's doing that I can't see. He's blessing me with cousins that will worship with all of their heart, that will put the talents that they have in the Lord's hands so that they can bless others. Amen. He blesses me with a church family that loves one another. That's what he's stacking. It's no comparison. It's all worth it. Because eternity starts now. And I want to be the person God created me to be. So how am I going to become that person? I got to allow him to pull me into the future. I have to allow him to cultivate that relationship where I learn to trust him. It's worth it. He loves us. But he's also allowing us to grow. So he will not take that away. Can he? Yes. Has he? Sure. He's God. If he wants you to hit the lotto, he'll let you hit the lotto. But that's not the point. What good is hitting the lotto if he doesn't get to stack his love, if he doesn't get to stack his grace, his glory? It's not worth it. It's not worth it to just be healed from a disease if we don't get to experience our Heavenly Father's love for us. That's the difference. It's like that scale. When I'm feeling frustrated, it's that scale. And I thought about it. My clutch, that was such a huge problem to me. Now I think about it. What is God doing? What is He stacking behind the scenes? Yeah, my clutch broke. But number one, it didn't break in the middle of the freeway. When the AAA guy said, "What? You drove home like that?" He goes, "You know you're taking a big risk." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You go up that hill on the 14 with a broken clutch?" He allowed me to be in a safe place when that clutch broke. He allowed me to be friends with an individual that can fix that for me. Now my relationship in the kingdom can grow, because not only is my clutch fixed so I can get to work, but now I have cemented a relationship with somebody that may not know God, who may be frustrated. And now I can be the bridge to say that frustration is a beautiful thing. Why? Because your attention is being changed, Mike. To who? To God. Is it worth it? Absolutely, it's worth it. And it's okay to have to go through that process if it means that we spend eternity with Him. It's okay. Max Lucado, the book that I'm reading, he puts it this way. The brevity of life grants power to abide, not an excuse to bail. I looked up brevity this morning. Shortness of life grants us the power to abide, or to withstand, or to go through it, to stick it out. It gives us the power to stick it out. The shortness of life does not give us the excuse to bail. Why? Because when we bail, we miss out. We really will not receive the blessings that God has for us if we bail. We stick it out. We stick out those tough times in ministry. We stick it out trying to improve that relationship that we have with an individual that gets on our nerves. We stick it out going to a job that we may not like day after day. Why? Because we're not going to take for granted the blessings that God has given us. It grants us that power to abide, not the excuse to bail out. It improves our character. Realize that we're being molded and shaped for eternity. That's why the Apostle Paul puts it that way. For our light and momentary troubles. This is the Apostle Paul. He's gone through some stuff. Being stoned, beaten with rods, shipwrecked, hated on, outcast, thrown in prison. That stuff's pretty major. And he terms it as light and momentary troubles that are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs everything else. I'm going to close with this, if I can have everybody stand. I'm wondering this morning if you would allow our perspectives to be changed, to realize that the frustrations that we go through is all a part of God's plan for us. If we could sing the song "Through It All." If you've been frustrated, if you've been in a state where you feel confused, uncertain, in the midst of chaos, at a point in your life where you're looking up at God and you're saying, "Why? Why, Lord? I don't understand." If you're in that state, as we sing this song, would you come up? We would declare this song as our prayer, that He sees us through every season. And Lord, this morning we're going to declare that You've never let us go through it all. If you're in that, if you have that heart this morning where you're frustrated, would you come up? We'll worship together and then we'll pray. But have this alone time with your Heavenly Father to ask Him, to search yourself, to allow Him to change your perspective, to see that behind the scenes, He is stacking your life with so much of His grace, so much of His love, so much of His glory. And He's prepping you for eternity. Let's sing this song. We worship you, oh God. We worship you, Lord.
You are forever in my life. You see me through the seasons. You cover me with your hand and lead me in your righteousness.
You see your people here this morning, oh Lord. You see our frustrations, Father God. You see the trials, the circumstances that we're going through, oh Lord. But Father, this morning we recognize that you are in our future, oh Lord. That you are pulling us, Father God, unto yourself, oh God. That you are pulling us, Lord, to the plans and to the success, Father God, that you have in store for us, oh Lord. Allow us to realize this morning, Father God, that the change is necessary for us to go through, oh Lord. That we are being molded and shaped, Father God, for eternity, oh Lord. Father, when we feel frustrated, when we feel uncertain about the future, Lord, allow us to realize, oh God, that behind the scenes, oh Lord, you are stacking your goodness on us, oh God. You are stacking your grace, your love, your mercy, your healing, your provision, your presence, Father God, your glory. You are stacking all of that, Father God, so that the things that we go through will always be worth it, oh Lord. It's worth it, Father God, to go through the trials, oh Lord. because those trials, Father God, point us to you. They point us, Father God, to your hand upon our life. We declare you as Emmanuel, always with us. You've seen us through every season, O Lord. Would you give us power this morning? Would you anoint our words, Father God, this morning? Every relationship that we're involved in, O God, would you be with us, Lord? Be our portion, O Lord. Give us peace in our heart to know that you will never let us go, that you are still in complete control of everything that we go through, O God. Everything that we face, O Lord. Bless each and every heart. Bless each and every life this morning, O God. In Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name, O God.